Psalm 1, verses 1 to 6. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
So this morning we are looking at Psalm 1 and looking at, remember the word I've highlighted there, the words are blessed and the way, and we will be looking at that this morning. But remember, when we look at a passage, there are three C's that we are looking for. What are the three C's? What's the first one? Amen. What's the second one? Content. Yeah, context, content. And what's the third one? Contribution to our lives. You see, you do remember. What a wonderful, wonderful congregation we have here this morning. And so the context of the Psalms, that the Psalms are God's gift to train us in this honest relational prayer. They train us how to respond in conversation to God, because this is people over thousands and thousands and thousands of years that says, hey, this is who God is, and this is how we can respond to God. In prayer and in song. This is to help us relate in a covenant way to God. And as you know, there are 150 Psalms. They're split into five books. Maybe they are in your Bible. Maybe they're not. I don't know. But the idea is that there's a deliberate end to each section that you will find. So one, Psalm 1 to 42, 41, 42 to 72, 73 to 89, and 106 to 150. Those are the five books. And if you think about it, they are based on the five books of the Torah, the Pentateuch. Yeah? And so there's a rhythm, there's a message, even in just the number of books that the Psalms have been split into. And they were chosen from many poems of that time. They could have chosen any. But what they did at that time, which is in the Babylonian exile, they were like, we need to remind ourselves of what Zion is like. You know, it wasn't an accident that I was playing to the by the Rivers of Babylon by Boney M. at the beginning of the service. The idea is to remind you that's the context of the Psalms, that they'd gone to Babylon. They were in exile and they were like, we can't pray because we have no temple to go to and pray. We don't have the presence of God because that's in the Holy of Holies. What are we going to do? And they were like, hang on a sec. We have God's word. We have God's word, and we can remind ourselves of who God is through his word. And we can respond to God even though we're in exile, even though we don't have a temple to pray in. But we know, and I know seeing some of the tears in your eyes as we sang some of the Psalms this morning, that the Psalms were written in response at that historical time to a specific event, you know, different people, different Psalms, different events. But they were composed in such a way that we can still read them today and say, actually, this is so similar to my situation. And God understands, and I understand how to respond to God. And it's interesting, the first two Psalms were added at the end, and they were like, how do we start the book of Psalms? And it was like, actually, to come into this place of prayer and presence with God, preparation is involved. And so we're going to look at how does Psalm 1 prepare us today to come into this place of prayer, because the whole series we're doing is praying the Psalms, and we're going to be using Eugene Peterson's books and study notes on how to actually pray the Psalms. The Psalm 1 is just divided into three sections, but you'll notice that it's the way is key in each section. Blessings come to those who choose the way of righteousness, contrasting the destiny of those who follow the way of wickedness. and then the summary concerning both the way of righteousness and wicked paths. That's the psalm. Yet the purpose of the psalm is to give us four ways to prepare as we come to pray. Yeah, does that make sense? So clearly there are going to be 4 points in my sermon, so you'll know when we're coming to the end. Point one. Psalm starts with the word blessed, and this prepares us to think about God's intention toward us. Blessed sets the tone. We are designed to be blessed. Do you really believe that? We are designed to be blessed. And I wonder, can we come with that expectation? Blessed is not a great word. If you actually look at the Greek word or even the Hebrew word, it's like it means sort of favor. It means, I mean, they translate it in the Amplified Version to say to be envied if you live in this blessing. Yeah, it's a kind of happiness. It's a phenomenal thing to be blessed. But I wonder if you come to pray and thinking, oh, God, I've got a list of prayer. Or do you come, I'm going to be blessed as I pray. What is your attitude as we come? But this is what the Psalms is teaching us, saying, can you come expecting to be blessed? And Jesus reminded us that the first things he said in the Sermon on the Mount, remember, he said, God's desire is to bless you. I want to bless you with the kingdom of God. I want to bless you to inherit the earth. I want to bless you to be satisfied. I want you to bless you with comfort. I want to bless you with mercy. I want to bless you with the ability not only to see God, but to hear him. I want to bless you to that you will be known as God's child. Can you see that the purpose and desire of God is to bless us as we come into conversation with him? So prayer is really, it's not about emptying our minds, isn't it? I've got to be holy. I've got to think about it. It's actually saying, I need to remember all that God has done and pray on the basis of that. I need to remember to come and say, Lord, you want to bless me? I'm coming with this attitude to you, whatever part of the day it is that you pray. You see, through our prayers, the reason why God wants to bless us, through our prayers, he says, I know that in this world, this fallen world, you've lost things. That you've had things stolen from you. That you've had times when it seems like your life, your hopes, your dreams have been taken away. And the Lord says, come and bring those times to me. Because I want to bless you and give you life, as we have sung this morning. And his desire is not only, I think I grew up thinking, oh, the blessing comes when I get to heaven, it'll all be right then. The blessing is now. It's now. It's now that he wants to bless us. Martin Luther wrote, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. And sometimes it feels like that, God, come on, as opposed to laying hold of his willingness. He is willing. He longs to bless. So I wonder, what image do you come to God with, even today when you come in prayer? And we remember, prayer is about practice. So we will be practicing prayer throughout the sermons over the next 2 weeks. So I'm just going to ask you to practice. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Don't fall asleep on me. Close your eyes. And I want you just to imagine, what expression is on the face of God as we come to him at this moment in time? Be honest with yourself. What expression is on God's face? What is he doing with his hands? How are you feeling when you come into God's presence and you see him? Lord, I thank you that we can just boldly walk into your very presence, that we can see you, we can hear you, and that you desire to bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. I know in the past, sometimes I'm like, I've shut my eyes and I saw nothing. I mean, God seems so distant. Other times I feel like I can just touch his foot, you know, and just sort of reminded me of just the almighty nature of God. Other times, it feels like I'm in Isaiah 6, where he's just caught up into, you see, in heaven and all that's going on. Where we did the book of Revelation, I found myself just imagining what was happening in heaven and just enjoying the very presence of God. And other times it feels like I'm just walking on a beach with Jesus. But I wonder, how do you come? How do you prepare yourselves? What's your image of God? How are you thinking of him when you come to pray? Secondly, the psalm teaches us to prepare to focus away from the world. You know, what way are you focusing? Because the world is a non-praying world. Yeah? And so actually, if we get caught up in the world, we end up thinking and behaving and being distracted and intimidated by a non-praying world. But the minute we turn our attention towards God, we suddenly see him and his ways and his kingdom. And I don't know about you, I mean, we've talked about this before, those of you know, sometimes I have to put my hand up, I've become an accidental Pharisee. I didn't mean to, but I've just wandered down that path again. But can we accidentally start walking in the way of the world as opposed to the way that God has for us? And the psalm, it actually says, you are not, three times. It's a bit like the commandments. You know, there's these, don't walk, or you are not to walk in the way of the ungodly. You're not to walk in the world that doesn't believe in God. You're not to walk thinking and not including God in every aspect of your life. We are not to walk, we're not to stand, and we're not to sit with worldly ways. Because, and I'm going to use a strong word, but I believe it's true, because the world's ways are anti-Christ. They are not God's kingdom ways. The world, as I said, denies God exists. They refuse to come into a relationship with him. And they refuse to be anything like Christ in this world. You see, we have walked in the other way when we find ourselves forgetting to pray. We've walked in the other way when we have forgotten to include God in our daily lives. And Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message translation and many other books and phenomenal sermons and loved the Psalms, he said, the psalm here is teaching and guiding us away from the anxieties of this world to enter a world of wonder, to leave our ego-centered, this self-centered world, and enter a God-centered world, and to leave a world of problems and enter a world of mystery and possibilities. I don't know about you, but I mean, I was preaching to myself this week. I was like, why am I not praying more? I come to be blessed. I come, and this is what's going to happen as I come and focus my attention on God. Can I prepare myself for all that he has for me? Another author writes, and I thought this is quite a good image too. It says, do we have this concept of God as the Burger King? And the Burger King, as you know, when you go to the Burger King, as opposed to McDonald's, you know, you can have this or that and you don't want this. In other words, I did it my way. Can I have my burger my way? You know, are we just doing our lives my way? Or are we actually saying, no, we invite the King of Kings into us, into our daily lives, to discover what his way is for each one of us? And remember, his way is not always clear. One time he said, hate your parents. Another time he said, honor your parents. You actually need to know which it is in that situation. You know, people think there's contradictions in scripture. It's actually, you need the Holy Spirit and the Lord to direct you. What are you meant to do at this moment in time in your relationships or in your life or in your job? So number three, this wonderful psalm prepares us through images that are designed to ignite our imaginations. A transplanted tree is the image that we have, an image that spoke to the Israelites at Babylon. That was, remember, I don't know if you know, but the history of Babylon's in the middle of a desert. They had one river running down. And what they realized was, is if you do all these irrigation canals that were actually cut out by the Israelites in the baking sun. So they knew about this. As they created these irrigation canals, suddenly life was being created in this desert place, not just by the river, but beyond the banks of the river. I can't wait to see. I think there's going to be videos in heaven, and I'm going to say, can you just show me what Babylon was like? I think it was absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. But they understood this concept of being transplanted like they were doing with the trees and putting them by rivers and watching them begin to thrive. And they're like, we've come and been transplanted out. And we felt actually quite barren in this land. But if you put us by water, the living water of God's word, the living water of who God is, what will happen? Oh my goodness, suddenly you'll get some nourishment in and you will begin to flourish. They could flourish in a barren land. You see, it's not the place or circumstances that enable us to flourish, but God's word feeding us, his presence with us, enabling us to mature and bear fruit. And as we come and draw from this living water, as we draw from God, he will be saying, actually, can I just replace this truth about who you think I am or who you are in Christ or who you think others are? Can I just replace it with truth? And the lies will be gone, and then you will be free, free to be all that I've created you to be. And as we know, the opposite happens when we walk in the way of the world. It says we are like chaff, that we are dry, not rooted, and blown along. And I see that, I mean, particularly young Christians, they're just blown along by life. They have no roots. They have no way of standing firm when difficulties come, when the enemy attacks. I wonder how you're feeling this morning if you were a tree. What's happening to your leaves? Are they, or are they, do you know what I mean? Woohoo! You know? How much water are you pulling in? You know, are you in a time of bearing fruit, or are you in a time of just like not even flowering? Just haven't got the energy for that. And that's how we relate to the psalm. That's the point of the image. It's to ground us to say, look, are you, how are you feeling? Like this tree who's flourishing, or like the tree that has yet to be transplanted? But actually, the way of being next to this living water is just getting into God's word. And remember, God's word is living and active. It's not just looking at scripture. It's saying, I'm coming to the very word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So we're going to do another little exercise, all right, before we come to the last point. We're going to use our imaginations, and you're going to imagine yourself a tree. But you can imagine yourself as a person. But in a sense, I mean, how are you feeling this morning? Just get in touch with what's going on inside you. Are you feeling like a withered tree? So just shut your eyes again and just, are you feeling barren or dry? How are your leaves doing on the tree of what's going on inside of you today? Are you struggling to think, how can I bear fruit at this moment in time? But having imagined what kind of tree you are at this moment in time, can you imagine yourself right now being transported to this very river of life? And can you, as you breathe in, just suck in the living water of our Lord Jesus Christ? Can you see that his plan for you is for your leaves to grow and flourish? Can you see that as he perhaps has transplanted you into a new job or a new place to live, that he has the intention of you bearing fruit in that place? Can you feel that refreshment this morning that the Lord longs to give you for the coming week? In Jesus' name, amen. And number four, the psalm says, can we prepare to focus on the Torah, on God's word, on his law? The noun Torah comes from the word yara, which means to throw something. It's like a javelin. So it's like I'm coming with God's word and go into your heart I may get it, I may not, but you know what I mean? The idea is that as you throw something, it comes into your very being. It's not something that is word out here. It's meant to pierce us. It's meant to impact us. It's meant to have an effect. And I don't know about you, there's times, isn't there, where I'm just reading God's word, and I'm just reading it. I'm understanding the story, the narrative, and other times you just read it, and it's like, oof, that got me. Wow, that got me. And that's what God's word is designed to do, because when it pierces and penetrates us, we are designed to grow, to be reshaped. It's designed to feed us and grow. And then meditate, Hagar, is a bodily action. It means murmuring and mumbling words. So it's not like just looking at scripture and saying, oh, that's nice. It's actually saying, no, I'm going to murmur and mumble over these words. I'm going to take physical pleasure in sounding them out. I'm going to get the feeling of these words in my mouth, and it will impact my mind and my body. Meditation is not an intellectual exercise. It's a body exercise. So preparation involves ruminating over God's words to us, listening to them, paying attention to them, praying them through, allowing them to have an impact on and in and through us. That's how we choose the right way, isn't it? By coming to his word. So what contribution does this make to us? We looked at last time prayer. It says the Psalms were used for the community to come together and pray. Yes, they will affect us and help us express ourselves, but they're actually designed to become ourselves in community. They're meant to be prayed together. They're meant to be worked out together. This is a community in exile, has no temple. They come together. They had a book of prayer, which is these Psalms, and they would pray them together to remind themselves who they are and who their God is. So they help us develop the habit of not just talking about God, but actually talking with God. Before we pray together, we prepare ourselves then through meditating on God's word. We prepare ourselves through seeing it, through images and pictures that he wants to give us to ignite our imagination so we can pray. We prepare by turning our thoughts away from the world's ways and focusing on God and his kingdom ways. And we prepare ourselves by coming ready to be blessed. You see, we live in a culture, an individualistic culture, where the West often means that this individual means I want to pray to my God, myself. Yeah? I don't want others to intervene. Yeah? Because this is how I see God and this is how I pray. We would rather be insulated from the irritating presence of other people or that fabulous book that we've read. As one author writes, we prefer not to be surrounded by idiots when we pray. We'd rather have God to ourselves and pray in the way that we would like to pray. You see, if we have that attitude, it's because we kind of think that the way we pray is superior, that we're not actually ready to love and to have this relationship with God and with others. Individual prayer is important, but remember, the focus for me at this time and our church is praying together. And prayer takes practice. It's not a theoretical exercise. We'll be practicing this. We are upping the amount of prayer times we have together. It may feel awkward at first praying together, but it's God's kingdom ways is designed that we pray together. It's a bit like a child learning to speak. Usually they speak when there's huge joy, isn't it? Mama or Dada, yeah? And they just have a few words initially and that's fine. Or, ouch! Do you know what I mean? You know, times of pain and times of joy, that's where kids have got their words and that's what we've got. But I'd love us to be a mature church praying together with not just single phrases, but actually coming in that real relationship with God and others. So my challenge to you this morning is, are we willing to commit ourselves to pray together and to prepare before we pray together? Are we willing to do that? And we'll have a couple of months for you to think and work that through and for us to practice. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the Psalms. I thank you that you have designed us to come to them as a way of answering you, as a way to respond to you, as a way of talking to you. Not about you, but to you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us prepare this week. Prepare for times of individual prayer, but also prepare for times of when we pray together. Lord, if you're challenging us to get a prayer partner or to join a home group, then, Lord, I pray that that would be, yeah, what you're saying to whoever. How do we do this, Lord? And the strategy will be different for everybody. Maybe it's just husbands and wives saying, actually, can we pray together? Can we pray together as a habit each day? And maybe use the Psalms to do that. Lord, whatever you have for us in this season of prayer, show us and guide us. Help us be listening to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.